If it's Tuesday.
What day is it?
Right? I don't know.
It's election day.
It's election day.
Which is why we're all a little bit out there crazy.
Barely making it through election day right now. But you know, we're going to take a little respite from our election coverage.
Mm-hmm.
We will have some polls closing coming up in 17 minutes, and we'll give you whatever information we get from our partners at ABC News on that.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. But it's time now to stop and think about something very positive. No matter how you feel about this election, most people are glad it's over, they're sick and tired of it, and they probably didn't like their choice for president. Or for anything else on the ballot, too, because they're like, why are those people still on the ballot?
A lot of familiar names.
Yes. Then they're like, ah, they're not doing a good job, but that's a name I never heard of. So they got that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not now do you have a problem, because Troy Murray joins us. It's Tuesdays with Troy, brought to you by Chicago's own Nuveen. And Troy, I just got to say that the Hawks have given me great entertainment for the last couple of weeks. Six in a row. Tons of fun. Although the news today, and Kevin Powell was just reporting it, the news today that Taylor Mott, one of the kiddie core on the team, is now going to be out, what did you say, 4 weeks?
2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
With the lower body.
All right. Are we worried about that, Troy?
You know what? He's been a real pleasant surprise. I think when, you know, last time we were talking, it was kind of up in the air what was going on. Things were heading in one direction. We were still waiting for some of the young guys to get some experience at the NHL level. And Tyler Mott was one of those guys that was really playing a big role and was playing extremely well. So when you're looking about Tyler Mott missing 3 to 4 weeks with a little bit of a freak injury that happened the other night, he's going to be out. Andrew Desjardins, though, a veteran player, was taken off IR the weekend. So kind of an easy replacement just to throw him in there. But you're certainly going to miss Tyler Mott. And for Tyler Mott playing so well, it's going to set him back a little bit here, out for a month.
And one of the other rookies, Troy, Nick Schmaltz, already a nice little promotion Sunday night. Had a chance to skate the top line with Taves and Kane. What does that say about Quinville's faith in him, and what have you seen from Schmaltz so far?
Well, I think that you're looking to give Nick Schmaltz an opportunity to play with some really skilled players. He goes from centering a line with Rasmussen and Jordan Tutu to playing left wing with Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane. We actually had him at our alumni meeting last night, and we were kind of talking about how hard it is not to be intimidated to play with two players of the stature of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. And he said, you know what, in your mind, you know that you want to get those guys the puck, but at the same time, you have to have faith in your ability to play your game and hope that it works. It's going to be a good opportunity for him to play in that position. Richard Panik played extremely well up to this point, but it kind of looks like he fell out a little bit out of favor last game. And Joel Quenneville, because of the injury to Tyler Mott, is going to switch a few things around. Schmaltz is going to move up. Tyler Mott is going to be out of the lineup. And Richard Panik is going to play on the line with Marcus Kruger and Ryan Hartman, where Mott was playing.
Can it be in any way frustrating for veterans, Troy, who've been doing this for a while, and then all of a sudden the Hawks have, you know, six rookies or so playing, skating with the veterans? Can it get frustrating at times? You know, maybe they want the rookies, the new guys, to pick things up a little bit. I mean, what was that like for you as a player, sort of transitioning and helping these rookies along the way?
Well, I think that, you know, when you've got a caliber of a person like Jonathan Taves, they have a real understanding of the reality of what happens here in Chicago. You know, the good and the bad is Kane and Taves and the core group of guys absorb a big amount of the salary cap, and rightly so. They've earned it. They've won, you know, 3 Stanley Cups as a group, and they've been rewarded with great contracts because of it. They understand that also because they are getting paid well, that some of the players that are going to be in the support area around that core group of guys aren't going to be the higher paid players. You can't afford to go out and get those guys. So, you know, if there is any frustration, you have to kind of look at the overall picture and say, well, you know, we've done what we've done here because of the salary cap limitations to put ourselves in this position. The hard thing is once you've won it again in 2010, you lost half the team. In 13, you lost a bunch of guys. 15, you know, half the team leaves again. So each and every year, you've got the core group, but around those guys, you're still trying to fit in the young players. They understand that, and they're really trying to help these guys come along. I would say in my mind, that these young guys are going to be around for a little bit, and that's why they're playing so much right now. They're putting them in positions to say, listen, what are we going to have at Christmas time? What are we going to have at the end of the year with these young guys in the lineup? What are we going to have 2 years down the road when these guys are 22, 23 years of age? Hopefully everything blends in, and they'll have this lineup for a little bit more length of a time than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, well, right, cause, and it's developed, and even if it's a year that – or the first half of a year that's clunky. I don't know, the whole year is going to be clunky because you're seeing these guys skate great.
You know, I mean, this team is 9-3-1, and they haven't really been dominating, but they've been able to find ways to win, which is the critical part of what's going on here right now. As these young guys, you know, get more and more used to playing in the NHL, you've been able to find ways to win games. Your goaltending's been great at one point. Scott Darling was excellent the other night against the Dallas Stars. Your top players have really started to perform well after a sluggish start. So you've got those guys that are supposed to be driving the bus, kind of taking control of things right now and finding ways to win.
You enjoy that Cubs World Series, Troy?
I did. Man, you know what? I'm a Chicago sports fan. I'm not a Chicago guy where I'm the north side or the south side, whatever. You know what? And I've been very fortunate. I knew the Bears back in the 85, a bunch of those players that were on that team. So I've seen every major sport team in Chicago win a championship. And I think it was special for the city of Chicago to have the Cubs win it. I mean, what a game. 5 hours. Pitch by pitch of intensity that just never stopped. It was fantastic. I sat at home, and my son was there, and we just sat, and we watched the game. It was fabulous.
I'm still hungover.
It does.
I mean, yeah. It is an interesting thing, because I think the championships in a lot of ways are contagious in towns. You've seen that happen in Boston. You saw it happen in New York.
Cleveland,
right?
The Indians made a run.
So, I mean, you know, the teams feed off each other, and it was really awesome to see at the World Series, and even before the World Series in the NLCS and then the NLDS, to see Hawks players there and to see Hawks players, you know, on their nights off,
right,
or coming in and taking part in, you know, some sort of ceremonial something. And there's a very, very nice relationship between the two franchises, in part because they shared executives. You know, a lot of the Cubs executives came over to the Hawks after Rocky Wirtz took over the team and you know, have been instrumental in making the Chicago Blackhawks the force that they are in not only the National Hockey League, but also in marketing domination mm-hmm. throughout the country. I mean, mm-hmm. you see the feathers flying, if you will, all over the nation, right? And in commercials and other places, and they've been great at being able to do that. And it does appear that the Cubs have taken a little bit of a page out of the Blackhawks playbook, which is develop your systems, develop the young kids, stay with them. And you know, if you have a good eye for talent, you're going to do well. And that's exactly what's happened here for the Cubs, and it's exactly what is happening on the ice. And I would argue right now for the Blackhawks is they're making this move now. Now we head toward the circus trip, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yep. They were spectacular last year on the circus trip. It has not always been that way. Both the Bulls and the Blackhawks have to go on the road in the last couple of weeks of November into December because of the
people like me like to bring our daughters to the circus.
Yes, or mm-hmm. our sons or we sons? Actually don't like to bring anybody to the circus. We feel compelled to have to do it because they hear about it and their friends went and now
I
you
like
gotta
going
go.
To the circus.
See, you
like
going? Violetta likes to go.
Well,
to the
because
circus.
Because you're 12, Violetta. That's why you like to go. The only reason that I go to the circus, and this is the one thing, and I say
the
it
popcorn?
All the time. And Troy, you know this because you know you played. You played in these stadiums. You cannot get the smell of elephant poop out of those buildings for weeks after they have been in there.
No, but the elephants, I don't think, are part of the circus anymore. They've been taken out of the circus.
That's
but
exactly right.
Back in the old stadium, I mean, you really couldn't get that smell out.
No.
I mean, it was, and our dressing room back in those days were down where they kept the animals, and it was – when you walked back into the building, it was you definitely knew that the circus wasn't counting
yeah,
for a long time.
That is totally true. So at the old...
It wasn't the sweet smell of cotton candy.
No. No.
That's not what greeted you when you walked in.
No.
I imagine tiger poop is not great either.
Well, that's the thing. And cat, you know how cat pee is bad? It's worse when it's tigers and lions.
Go cats.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it is awful. And so that area that was, I think it was the west end of the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. That where yeah. they would...
Like a
they
staging
would,
area?
They would marshal all the animals. And I was... When I started in the business, I was back there, and we were the Bulls station back then at the WMAQ when I worked there, and so I was there covering a preseason or a season Bulls game, and the elephant. They were moving out. They wanted me to do the story about the elephants leaving and the bulls coming back in. Get it?
Get it.
So
sure.
They,
classic.
And
yeah.
I'm back there, you know, doing a story about them leaving. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is awful. It was like your eyes water from it. Now, the new stadium they changed the ventilation, I guess, right? It'd have to.
So that helps, yeah.
It's not near as bad in the United Center. It's a great facility, and they do a nice job. And, you know, actually, for me, I love elephants. And I'm sorry to see that they're not part of the circus right now. We actually made a trip up to Wisconsin. They have an elephant park, which is up in, I can't think of what it was, but we went up there and actually rode the elephants up in Wisconsin about 2 summers ago.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool.
Majestic
I didn't know that.
Animals they are.
They are majestic.
They are.
They are majestic, but they're large animals, and when you know, and when they do things, it's also large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that how it sounds?
Not good. not good at all. All right. Well, I don't know how we got on the subject, but we did.
I know.
Troy,
off hockey.
Have fun. Have fun on the trip. Great. Have a great night tomorrow night as the Hawks take on the hated Blues. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? If you look at the schedule, it's going to get a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. So Blackhawks have put points on the board, which is great. You've got the Blues tomorrow, and in my opinion, the biggest rivalry that they have in the Central Division. You got Washington and Montreal, two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, coming in Friday and Sunday. Then you've got seven on a road in a row on the road. So by the time we come back in early December, we might have a little bit of a different story that we're talking about.
We'll see. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Troy.
Violetta.
I love a good circus.